I Got It From My Mama with Beck and Sarge on Apple, Spotify and nhmnewcastlehuntermamas.com.
Sorry.
I had to give them the hard talk at the start. That's right. And just say to them, you know, you need to want your success more than I want your success. And I want your success so much, but you're the one that has to do the work. And yeah, they all took that on, and they're the type of people that I need to work with. So yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about, I can't believe straight off the bat, I'm with Roz Gervais, NHM. I got it from my mum and Mel Sargent, but I can't believe that straight off the bat, we're just talking about work, which is so cool. We've dived into work instead of motherhood. But just to dial you guys in on our conversation, we were discussing getting the right clients and how if you've got some clients that you absolutely love that are working for you in your business, getting more of those is going to reflect better on your business and it's going to be better for your clients. And it's just that alignment overall, right? Whereas with the people who aren't quite aligned with you, you do get the money, but you often get a lot of grief, and it's sort of like clunky gears in a car, I reckon. It doesn't roll the way it should or the way you want it to.
Yeah, I hear what you mean. And I think in the early stages of business, it's really tempting to take those clients on.
I've done it. I'll just take anyone. Like I'm a little bit careful now. And obviously I'm building my business out to working one to many. But in the past, I've worked one-on-one with just so many people. And yeah, I've suffered a little bit for that reason. What did you do to attract all those people who are perfect for you, Roz?
Yeah, I guess it's the visibility piece. You know, I'm a very busy person. I love to do all the things. So I'm an artist and I'm a business coach for artists.
I think creative people are very like that. They're just sort of like going, aren't they? Because artists are essentially what my partner likes to call frothers. Like they are frothing on life, you know, frothing on their particular passion. Like, and so they want to attract other people like that. Yeah.
I love that so much. I think, you know, we're often also neurodivergent. So there's a lot of ADHD.
I was going to say that, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, like it's diagnosed in my family a lot, but I haven't had the diagnosis myself, but I haven't been to a doctor.
That's all right. Yeah. I was officially diagnosed actually quite recently. Haven't told my family even, but just, you know, tell them through a podcast.
Yeah.
But my point is that I'm not being negative at all about ADHD as much.
No.
But we do. We have the ideas and we want to do all the things, and we're just like those excited puppy dogs. And
yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. That can be channeled, and you can build your business based on that, I think. Just be yourself, you know. It's just so much about leaning into who you are and stop trying to fit someone else's mold.
Yeah, I think that it's just really about understanding yourself. Like sometimes those excited puppies do fall down at the end of the day and get really depleted because we've given so much. I know for my daughter is actually autistic, and she has a whole different level of skills and challenges. Just recently we go skiing, and my partner's a snowboarder, and I encouraged her to learn skiing. And at the start of it, her anxiety, like I don't have anxiety like her, I would never know what it looked like, but it was off the chart. She was skiing along, just going, yelling, okay, just with and wanting to like vomit with stress, like at the beginning, just going, oh my God. And then over time, now she's just got so much finesse and she's so good. And so,
well, yeah. Mel, like, good on you as a parent for braving that, because I think, you know, we've spoken before and both of us are really big feelers.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, braving that is hard, and you have persisted. Like, of course she's persisted, but she's persisted through your guidance to now be able to actually ski. So I just want to say that's bleeping amazing, because I don't know if you're the same as me, but the emotion involved when kids are having those moments, I take that on. I'm right there with them emotionally. And I just go flat. That's when I go flat.
Yeah, me too. And I felt like everything that she felt, you know, if she's, I'm thinking as well, like, you know, if my kid is dry reaching and upset on a slope, I feel it too. I go, oh my God, I'm doing the complete wrong thing. Like, you're not meant to take autistic kids extreme sports. Like, what are you doing? But then recently when we went away to Japan and she's jumping over tabletops and going on boxes, doing things that I can't even do in the snowboard park, I'm like, wow, it's turned out. It's just the steps that she took to get there were very different. Whereas my other daughter, Lily's a lot more like me. She's a complete hellraiser. She's layback Lucy. She was jumping on her first day and going down blue runs and stuff with no lessons. But Summer's now, she's almost like got a little bit more finesse than Lil. And she's because like autistic kids, her attention to detail is insane. So when she's doing those French fries or whatever the parallel turns, she is nailing every single bit of it and like always, you know, looking at how to get better. So yeah, it's really interesting starting the pod and talking about our differences and how they actually, if we take challenges on board or whatever, they do make us unique and they make us special, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I just, you know what, I was getting goosebumps when you were telling the story about your eldest learning how to ski and now being a pro.
Not quite, you know, a pro, but yeah.
Oh, well, pretty good at it, right? You can take on that skill building side. Like, that is just so bleeping amazing. So my eldest, for example, she's not particularly strong on the academic side. And so because of that, there's more to the story there, but I'm not going to put it on a podcast.
Yeah.
But because of that, we've really encouraged her in her gymnastics. So I'm not a pushy mum at all. But that gives her something to have pride in and something to be amazing at. And I just, you know, it just gives me goosebumps because these kiddos, they need something to feel good at. I don't care what it is. Like, I don't care if it's art, if it's gymnastics, if it's skiing, but just something to feel like they're contributing and they're bringing something amazing to the world.
Yeah. And I think it's really important that we support them. And you know what? I don't actually know, to be honest, like I get really confused in the best way to support some, because, you know, a lot of the textbooks and stuff would say that some of the stuff we do isn't good. But I don't know. I don't know what you do with motherhood, but I just sort of tend to try and listen to everyone and then just feel it out.
Yeah, definitely. And every child is different. And I think it really does come down to that connection you have with your kiddos. And sometimes it's stronger and sometimes not so strong when you're on totally different pages.
Yeah.
But if you can try to connect with them, I find that really helps. My kids as well are super different. They are very different to one another.
What are their personalities like, Roz?
My youngest, she's quite complex. She's very particular about things, a bit of a perfectionist, gets very anxious about being places on time, but socially very friendly, very generous, very giving, very, very, you know, plays really well with others. And then my eldest, headstrong, like however she wants it to be, that's how it better bloody well go, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, really, really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, it's good to learn about a little bit about your kids. And what are some of the skills you use as a mother? What have you got in your tool bag this far along?
Well, firstly, I want to say that I don't think I'm acing it. So let's just, you know.
No, neither.
Let that be known. one thing that I feel works for me is that I actually listen to my kiddos. So when they're having a meltdown, I try to connect with them rather than go in heavy handed.
Yeah.
And if I don't know what to say, often my response will be, that must feel so awful, or I'm so sad that you're feeling that way. Just to empathize first so that they know that you're with them, and then you go from there.
Yeah.
And there might be, you know, you might need to have consequences or whatever in the mix, but just just empathy first. So I don't know. I'm really, really hoping that they are still talking to me when they're, you know, 16, 17, 18. And I want to somehow maintain that relationship to some degree.
Yeah, I'm really good at the empathy and, you know, being the super nice one. And my partner says sometimes, oh, you know, they just got no boundaries with you. They walk all over you. So recently we've been trying to enforce a little bit more of time out sometimes and stuff like that. And it has really made me feel a lot better too, because I just feel like it's not okay. I felt like before they were in the driver's seat and, you know, they're like 6 and 8, so they're not even allowed to drive yet. Having them in the driver's seat is probably not ideal. So I do feel like we've gotten to a place where there is boundaries in place and behavior and stuff like that. And, you know, like about a year ago we decided, oh, we're going to take them to this Chinese restaurant in Foster and no one goes there, and we're going to teach them to be in a restaurant. The first time we went, they were doing cartwheels and crawling under the table and just going crazy. And now we've got them to a point where, yeah, they're actually not that embarrassing to take out because they sort of know how to act. So those sort of things, just putting some boundaries in place around that. It's making me, my journey as well of motherhood, just that much more palatable, I guess.
Yeah, and good on you, because that's the whole thing, isn't it, with motherhood. We're so giving and we're so caring and we always think about the kiddos, but it has to go both ways. Actually, funny story, my youngest, she was on the way to school in the morning and she said, oh, mummy, I've got a play date after school today, so maybe while I'm at school, you can tidy up the house, okay?
Are you serious?
Hang on, darling. I had to just like zip my lips because it was actually just hilarious, and then obviously spoke with her about it afterwards.
I do everything. Yeah, I know. But it's really interesting because I do that as well with my, like, I do everything for my kids, like to the point where they'll be like, put my sock on, and they'll just be on their iPad or something and they'll have one foot in the air and I'm like doing their socks and like doing everything for them. So even to the point, I still wipe my 6-year-old's butt sometimes for some reason. She's just like, oh, it's a sticky one, mum, like, come and wipe my butt. And I'm like, yep.
Is that your eldest though?
No, she's my youngest.
That's your youngest.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was going to say, your eldest is, you know, on the spectrum. Let's just like put some context here.
Oh, no, no. She's good. She's good actually. She does have a weird thing with toilets. They have to be clean toilets, and if they're not, she can't get on. But I totally agree. So yeah, we are just like servants to these little people. It's just amazing, isn't it? Coming up next, how I actually found Roz. We're going to talk about that. I was inspired to find a couple of other mums like myself who have taken on the role of working around about the hours of 9 till 2 and spending a little bit more time with their kids where they can, if life allowed. And I wanted to hear their stories and how they did that. So we're going to hear that next from Roz.
I got it from my mama with Beck and Sarge on Apple, Spotify and NHMNewcastleHunterMamas.com.
After separation, parents need to determine several matters for their children moving forward. Some matters which need to be considered and decided are, who will the children live with and what time will they spend with the other parent? How significant decisions related to education and health will be made? What involvement each parent will have in the children's health and education? And how expenses and costs for the children will be shared? Some matters are more complex, involving domestic violence, risk of harm to children, special needs the children may have, potential relocation of children, and parental conflict. Get Emily Osler and Grace Solicitors on your side. GraceSolicitors.com.au Newcastle.
At Sveta Property, their first priority is making sure your reasons, needs, and buying and selling goals are considered and understood by the whole team. Real estate isn't just about a property transaction. It can be emotional, empowering, and sometimes overwhelming. That's where they come in. They take away the stress and let you simply enjoy the experience of what can be a really exciting milestone in your life. Anyone can buy or sell a house. Sveta Property goes that extra extra mile to offer you greater value, service and understanding every step of the way. As one of Newcastle's most experienced real estate teams, they can handle everything from residential sales to property management. Thanks for sponsoring the NHM community. Contact Sveta Property today. NHM, I got it from my mama. Hey, I'm Mel Sargent, and I'm with Roz Gervais today, who is an artist and a mum. And she reached out to me when I asked to hear from a couple of mums who are working the hours of 9 till 2 p.m. and making it work somehow, because I'm trying to do it and it's super hard. And I thought some other mums might be interested in this. So I've slowed down our life, and yeah, we're not quite as financial as we were before, but I'm there for my kids all the time. My partner is super supportive. I go away for work a couple of days a week too, and he is there hands-on. But I'm interested to find out how some mums are working like this and what they do. So, and hearing a few stories. So, Roz, tell us about yourself and what you're doing between the hours of 9 and 2 and probably 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. sometimes as well.
That's about right, actually.
Yeah.
So I am an artist. So I'm a modern botanical painter, and my artwork is usually pretty large scale. I work with acrylics on canvas primarily, and my work's in 3 galleries across Australia.
Wow.
But I'm also a business coach for other artists who are interested in getting paid basically to do what they love. So that's a little passion part of my business as well.
Yeah. Well, I know a few artists who would probably do well with your course. Where can we find you on Instagram, and tell us a little bit about your day, how you structure it?
Yes. So Instagram, I'm over at Roz Gervais Art. And my day, oh my goodness, it is particularly hectic this week. So it is jam packed with one-on-one coaching calls. I work online, so I work from home, and I work primarily online. And then I'm painting in between all of that, and it's just busyness, but it is well and truly within those hours, because I do want to be there for the kiddos for school drop and for pickup as well, and all the after school palaver. But then often after bedtime, then I'll head back to get some work done, do some late night painting or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting you say palaver, because sometimes you're like, it just feels like it. I mean, my oldest one has an assembly next Wednesday at 2 p.m. or something like that. And so I'm like structuring my week around it, and it's just like, wow.
It's hard because you're literally left there with priorities. So I had earlier this week, this Wednesday afternoon just gone, I had a one-on-one coaching call scheduled right at the time that I then found out that my daughter had this award assembly thing at school. I'm like, what do I do? Is it the professionalism? Is it my child? What do I do? And I ended up choosing my kiddos.
The
one-on-one session. But it is definitely, like, across the board, it is 100% a matter of constant prioritization.
Yeah. And I tend to have lists and just not take too many breaks during those hours. Do you have anything that helps you? I work not when I'm not at my main studio. I work on the farm, which is where we live, but I'm thinking of setting up a studio there as well, just so I can really immerse myself in a space without distraction, because I do get distracted a lot at home.
Yeah, love that idea. So in terms of organizations and staying on task, I use like a lot of digital tools. So I use my Google Calendar. Okay. And that I basically design a rhythm to my week. So Monday's my admin day, and I have every Monday like a hit list of what I have to do.
That's so cool.
Tuesday's like my teaching day. Wednesday's my podcast recording day. Thursday's my flexi day. Friday is my art studio day. So I have to have like a bit of a line up like that. And then for tasks, I use Asana. Have you heard of all those tech tools? I'm
sure. No, I have heard of Asana a little bit, I think, in podcast ads and stuff. I'm pretty
really
old school.
Handy.
I just sort of like roll with it and try and get all the jobs done. But definitely. So what do you like? This isn't an ad, by the way.
Oh, no. Oh, 100% not. I've got a free Asana account, so, you know, it's fine. Not an ad.
So what do you do? Like, how does Asana help you and those other tools?
It's just, I think it's the mobility. So I've got a very busy mind and I have a very busy business. There are just so many elements, so many moving pieces. It's ridiculous. I wouldn't be able to cope with a notepad. I wouldn't be able to cope with my previous, you know, post-it note system. By the way, these post-it notes behind me are not to-do items.
They're your clients.
Oh, yeah, these are my clients.
It's good to see you've got colourful clients.
Yeah, so having a tool, a centralised tool, really helps me to stay organised. Otherwise, I literally couldn't do it without a tool like that.
Yeah. And how did you come at this juncture in your life where you decided to be so hands-on? Have you always been like that with your kids? I mean, I wasn't always. So I've come from a place of super busy, super mum, wanting to absolutely crush it in all respects. And then I was sort of forced to a point where I had full care. My ex-partner used to have care and I went 100% of having the kids after quite a long stint of not. And yeah, I just had to decide to dive all in. And sometimes you do, I have to honestly say that sometimes I feel like I am handcuffed and I just want to do things, but the kids, it's a really interesting feeling, to be honest. So it's something different, but
can get, because it's that whole, it's such a cliche, but it's that whole oxygen mask bizzo. So if you can try to keep your cup, you know, full enough, just full enough really, so that you can keep on going. It is hard. It's also only for this period of time, but it's a long period of time. But I do keep on having these little moments. Recently, I don't know why, in particular in the last couple of weeks, of just looking at my kids and thinking, man, they fight a lot, but I'm actually going to even miss that. Like, you know, when they're 21 and, I don't know, living in London or whatever they're going to do at that age, I'm actually going to miss them being in front of me fighting like cats and dogs. So I'm trying really hard to have that little, you know, little sense of perspective, but it's hard.
Oh, it's so hard. And I remember when my kids were babies and every day, because I would actually really resent those people who would come to you, especially the older people, and they'll just be like, you know what? It goes so fast. And you're like, it fucking doesn't go fast. I have changed 75 nappies today. The bin is full. My bank account is empty. I'm walking around the house in, you know, shorts and no top. And I'm just like having a mental breakdown with no sleep. It doesn't go fast. But being at a similar juncture to you, I do see that now. Like, one of my things to do, which is so weird, like I look at photos, I get stuck looking at photos before I go to sleep at night of the kids all the memories come up and stuff. And I go, holy cow, like this time a year ago, like my youngest looked like a baby almost. And it's amazing to see that change. Obviously, sometimes I'll just do it for so long that I fall asleep and the phone actually falls onto my face and like hits me in the face because I'm just looking at all those moments and going, oh my God, it's crazy.
Yes, it's beautiful, isn't it, to do that, you know, look back and just appreciate those moments. And sometimes you have to be out of the moments to appreciate them.
100%. Yeah.
How's that work?
Yeah. Well, I saw a mum in a cafe the other day and I was doing some work just waiting for a school meeting as it was. I was staying in the country waiting for a school meeting so I could burn down the highway and come to my proper job. And there was a mum there and she was just her baby was hardly even making a noise. Oh, it was like, and I could see how it'd be annoying from a mum point of view. She's like, Harry, can I help you? Harry, do you want to go outside for a walk? And I was like, oh my God, I was that mum like a few years ago. I don't know what it is, but yeah, you just, when they're young, you just feel so anxious and you're always like on edge. But looking at the two of them, it looks like the kid was the relaxed one and the mum was the anxious one. So I don't know, you know, it just does something weird to us, motherhood, doesn't it?
100%. I don't know. And it's never what you would.
Where do you see artists essentially going wrong, so to speak, when they can't make a living out of their work if they are exceptionally good? And what are some of the things that you're doing to help people?
Oh, that's a fun question. I like that one. Work. It would be around the business know-how. Yeah. But I love my work. Like
me too. I like it.
I'm just always amazed. This is my work. Like, how amazing is this? Yeah, it's around the business know-how. So a lot of the time, the creatives are really, really good at their craft, which makes perfect sense, right? That's their job. Yeah, the growth areas would be in money management, money mindset as well.
As an artist myself, I started my journey before radio as a stand-up comedian. And I think it is ingrained in a lot of artists that you do your art for the love of it, and that you're not meant to make heaps of money out of art, and it's the poor artists that we always see depicted in old-time works and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's definitely something that is really prevalent in the art space. It was for me. You know, I think back, and there's some people to blame for it too, like a lot of promoters and some people probably in the art space that you know in the painting space, they don't pay enough or anything. So no, obviously you have to ask. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. And I've seen it in certain relationships that I have, and I'm not going to name anybody here.
Yeah.
But where people are trying to talk me down on price for elements of my art, and I'm just like, I've come to a point now where I'm like, no. Yeah. You're actually part of the problem. And the answer is no.
That's true. You are part of the problem. And I've run workshops for comedians where they say, oh, we just need the stage time. Yeah, yeah. But if you all appear for free, you're never going to be able to put your hand out, because they will sit there aghast when I say I get paid a couple of thousand dollars for a speaking gig, you know, and I say a lot of it comes from my stand-up comedy years. That's where I got the skills in my bag. And there was a point too where I stood up and said, no, I'm not doing free gigs. So
and you shouldn't have to justify yourself those people.
True. 100%
issues.
Yeah,
unfortunately. So money mindset, it's around the self-worth piece as well.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to get to the bottom of that and to see if they are jealous of you because they wish they were paid that much, or if they actually think it's bad to take that much money, and therefore it's that guilt, which is another whole area to explore. It's really quite complex, actually. But to uncover all of that, that can really make a big difference to your journey as a creative, whether you're a speaker or a visual artist.
Or whatever. There's so many different types of art form, music, making music, whatever. Yeah, very cool. And I've often found that I go by the theory that the less I want to do the gig, the more I put down on the table. And 9 times out of 10, if they want you, they agree to the price pretty quickly.
Yeah, so. I've applied that as well for certain things. Exactly the same, because we've all got zillions of skills. You hit an age where you just have so many skills. Yeah. I could do that, sure, but do I want to? Not really. So this is how much it is.
Yeah.
And if they say yes, you're like, okay. That's the thing.
Well, thanks for doing the thing today, Roz Gervais. And you can find her on socials. And if you're an artist, get in touch with her. And she could see you working from 9 till 2 and having a great time doing it. All right. Thanks, honey.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye. Thank you so much to Janaea Newcastle, our sponsors of NHM. They offer assistance to individuals and their partners who want to achieve a pregnancy and live birth. They provide empathetic care and support and offer a variety of treatment options for women who need help to fall pregnant and same-sex couples who want to start a family. Often IVF is not actually needed, but Janaea will help you identify the right approach to achieve your goals. Over 4,000 babies have been born as a result of the fertility support and treatments offered at Janaea Newcastle. They also strive to provide the highest level of personal care throughout every step of your journey. Also supporting people with endometriosis. Get the girls together for our event on Saturday, October 19, hosted by yours truly, NHM Newcastle Hunter Mamas. Thanks, Janaea Newcastle.
I Got It From My Mama with Beck and Sarge on Apple, Spotify, and NHM Newcastle Hunter Mamas.com.